And welcome back to Sports Byline USA on assignment, you might say, to Camp Humphreys, South Korea, in the McGinnis Warrior Zone. Beautiful place here. And got some great friends with me traveling. But co-hosting this hour of the show, Brenton Carver, and also his coach at the high school here, the Blackhawks, Steve Elliott. And joining me now, my good friend, and of course, during the course of the NFL season, inside the game host as well with me, Brian Billick, and he was the head coach, of course, of the Baltimore Ravens when they won Super Bowl 35 against the Giants. He was the offensive coordinator in Minnesota when the Vikings set the NFL record for most points scored in a season and a team record 41 touchdowns. Coach, how are you?
Doing great this evening.
Well, are you all ready for another NFL season? And we've had a chance to talk at least once before, but as we get closer to kickoff, which will be the Chicago Bears going up against the Green Bay Packers. That'll be tomorrow, the time here in Korea. What's your view of that game and also how you see the season?
Well, it's great that, and it's fitting that obviously in the 100th year anniversary of the NFL that you have the Packers and the Chicago Bears playing. No one has played more great games, no bigger rivalry than that. Should be an excellent game. You know, obviously, you're talking about Aaron Rodgers and his new coach, Matt LaFleur, what that offense will look like compared to obviously the defense of the Chicago Bears, and with quarterback Mitchell Trubisky. What is he ready to take that next step to be that guy? So that's going to be the big challenge for him to try to keep up with Aaron Rodgers. Should be a great game on what should be a phenomenal season. I think both in the AFC and the NFC, you can make a case for 4, 5, 6, 7 teams as being legitimate NFL Super Bowl contenders, and that should make it very competitive all year long.
What teams stick out to you at this point?
Well, obviously, you can never dismiss the New England Patriots and Tom Brady. Their division doesn't look particularly strong, so it looks like it's the field versus New England. There's obviously a number of teams. The AFC South with Houston, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, and Tennessee, although Indianapolis taking a hit with the loss of Andrew Luck. I think top to bottom may be the best division in the NFL. In the NFC, I think the New Orleans Saints, they're the ones on paper with Drew Brees at quarterback and what they're doing, how much better they've gotten on defense. Although certainly there's a lot of teams, the Dallas Cowboys just re-signing Ezekiel Elliott. The Philadelphia Eagles should rebound with Carson Wentz at quarterback. We already talked about Green Bay and Chicago. Chicago seems to be a favorite of a lot of people around the league, in terms of a team that's going to, with that number one defense, taking the next step. And in the NFC West, obviously, you've got to begin with the Rams. The Seahawks are always going to be a factor. Everybody thinks with Garoppolo, with the 49ers, that they're going to be in the middle of it. And the Arizona Cardinals, well, we'll see what happens with Kyler Murray and their new head coach.
I'm interested in Kansas City with Mahomes there. What do they have to do to take the next step to be somebody that finds themselves in the AFC Championship game?
Well, for them, it's clearly the defense, and they've got a new defensive coordinator. That's a big difference for them coming in. With Steve Spagnuolo from his time with the New York Giants. So we're going to see a vastly different structure in the Kansas City defense. Offensively, they just got to hope that Patrick Mahomes can repeat what he did before, 50 touchdowns. Now, it's hard to imagine he's going to repeat that. He could be at 45, and people are going to say, oh, okay, well, he really fell off this year. But 45 touchdowns, still pretty good. They're very dynamic offensively. So the real key is, can they improve on that 31st-ranked defense that they had last year?
Brian, we got two co-hosts. You've been here before. You know how we work this thing. And one of them is a linebacker for the high school team, Brenton Carver. And he's got a question for you.
Hey,
sure thing.
Coach. So I got a question for you. So with the legacy you left as being a coach and winning a Super Bowl, legacy you left, and John Harbaugh taking over, and with all the new moves they're making, especially picking up Mark Ingram and drafting Lamar Jackson last year, going up in the first round a little bit, how do you feel about that team? How do you feel about the legacy you left and how that team's going to improve?
Well, it's going to be fascinating. I did their preseason this year, and they are all in. They really believe that Lamar Jackson could carry the ball more than maybe 180, 190 times. That would be unprecedented. In 2017, Cam Newton ran 139 times. No one would have thought that number would be eclipsed. So the question is, A, how good will they be offensively if Lamar Jackson can stay healthy? And that's really the biggest question. If he can, this could be the most dynamic running offense we've seen in the NFL in a long time, to go with what, of course, is the pedigree really good defense. The question is, can he stay healthy? And you got to know defenses are going to come in. They're going to play an eight-man front. They're going to force him to throw from the pocket. How productive can he be from the pocket? So we're about to find out whether this really is a revolutionary new approach to the NFL.
And Coach Steve Elliott, the coach of the high school team here with us. What's your question, Steve?
Hey, Coach, I got a different kind of avenue I want to take with you and ask you. As a coach, what were some of your methods that to pregame and some of these big games to get your players ready to take on, to step on that field and their minds be ready for that that experience?
Yeah, I was never much one to believe in the motivational pregame speech. I mean, no matter how fired up you get the player, they're going to run down that first kickoff, get knocked on their butt, come up looking through their ear hole, and all that motivational stuff goes out through the ozone. Really, it's building a message. You begin in the NFL, it's beginning with that first meeting on Wednesday morning, and you talk about what is it going to take to beat this team. And you reiterate that all week long, and there's certain key points that you hit. So that Saturday night before the game or on Sunday in the pregame, all you have to do is touch on just the reminders of those key points, that this is what we have to do, to try to narrow their focus as to what they have to do to be good. And sometimes it's the placebo. Sometimes it's just a matter of something that you know they're going to do, give them the confidence going out, that once they do it, they feel like, yeah, we got this team, we can do this. And that's all you can really do as a coach, is to isolate those tactical and strategical things, narrowing it down to just two or three things that you got to say, look, this is what we have to do to beat this team.
So my question, I have another question, kind of to piggyback off of Coach a little bit. Being a coach, that's something I would love to do one day. I would love to coach. That'd be a great thing to do. What are some steps you took in becoming a coach? Like, what were some struggles you went through? How did you become where you are today?
Well, it's a fundamental decision that's when you want to do. And like a lot of businesses, I don't want to overstate it and feel like coaches are overburdened, but it's a commitment to a lifestyle. I mean, you got to be all in. It's 24/7. 365 days a year. And then you've got to commit to doing those things to improve the individual skills that you need to be a good coach. You go to clinics, you interact with other coaches. At the end of the day, it's all about teaching. And that's really what you are. You can juxtaposition the word coach, teacher, and leader. Look up any manual, any leadership manual, and put in and juxtaposition those words, and it would make absolute sense. And at the end of the day, it's connecting with the players. The saying that I grew up with and began to understand more and more as a coach, they don't care what you know until they know that you care. And that's really what it comes down to, that the players that you interact with know that you have their best interest in heart, that you're going to do everything you can to help them get better, and that you care about them rather than thinking that you have some magical offensive or defensive structure that's just better than anybody else, because frankly, that just doesn't exist.
Brian, this is the 100th anniversary of the National Football League, and you've been a part of it for a very long period of time. You certainly were with Bill Walsh with the 49ers, the Minnesota Vikings, and they had great success up there as the offensive coordinator. But when you take a look at professional football, what amazes you the most about where we are 100 years into this?
Really, it's interesting. I think at the end of the day, it's how little the game has really changed. And that's going to sound odd to some people. Yeah, certainly some of the things that we do in terms of the tactics and the strategies and the formations. But at the end of the day, it's about great players. It's about tapping into the great players. It's about the personalities of the league. And there were some great personalities back in the original NFL, and there are now, certainly. And at the end of the day, everybody has talent. And everybody has a pretty good structure. So at the end of the day, it's how you bring these players together in a singular team fashion and believing in what they're doing. And it's those personalities that have to come to the forefront. So even though there's been a great deal of changes, whether it's the rules, the style of play, the the wide open offense that we have right now. At the end of the day, it's not that dissimilar than the early teams that played way back in 100 years ago when it came down. Do you believe in your teammates? Will you play for your teammates? And how important is it to you?
Brenton has another question for you.
Sorry. You were talking about the game evolving, and it just got me thinking. How do you feel about the new calls? They're making new calls. They're trying to make the game safer. How do you feel about that?
Well, it's important because you got to keep the players safe. But at the end of the day, the fact of the matter is this is a very physically violent game, and there's only so much you can do. And so I admire the league for spending an incredible amount of time and energy and resources in trying to protect the players. I'm part owner in a pad company called X-Tech Pads that's kind of taken it to the next level. If you're going to take the head out of the game, pads are that much more important. And they really haven't changed in 40 years until now. But even the technology has to change. You want to protect the players. But at the end of the day, this is a very physical and violent game, and you have to recognize that. People are always asking me about – I've got two grandkids, and they always ask me, well, do you want your kids to play football? And obviously I enjoy – so many things because of my time in football. My entire professional life has been dedicated to football. So it's funny, though, when you're talking about my grandkids, my answer is, do I want them to play football? No. But I don't want them to see. I don't want them to drive. I don't want them to go out. I don't want them to cross the street. I don't want them to do anything that could potentially hurt them. But I know that the things that you learn from football, by being a team member, that you learn on a football field, can't be learned anyplace else. From that standpoint, if they want to play football, I'm going to support them in all that I can. I'm going to make sure that they're coached right. I'm going to make sure that they're equipped right, and they go at it with the right attitude.
We only have a minute left, but I want to ask you, what are you going to be doing with the NFL Network this year?
Well, it's kind of a little bit of everything. On Sundays, I'll be involved with what's called Game Day Live, which is basically an enhanced version of the Red Zone. We're talking about games as they're in progress. I'll do a few pregame shows. We're going to be at the Ravens and the Arizona Cardinals when we have that very unique matchup between Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson, which should be a very, very interesting game. So I'm kind of a professor emeritus status with the NFL right now, showing up in a lot of different venues. And I'm excited about it because I think it's going to be a very hotly contested, very even battle. I think we're going to go into the late month in December and having a lot of games determine who's going to be the division champion and who's going to be viable Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, you also do great work for us for Inside the Game, which people can hear on the Sports Byline Worldwide Network. That'll be on Tuesday. Coach, take care. Thank you for joining us. I hope you'll be able to make one of our other trips because this has been a great one. But thank you for joining us here on Sports Byline.
We do it. We appreciate everything you're doing out there, Ron, and appreciate everybody that you're interacting out there, and love our service members.
Super Bowl winning coach Brian Billick. You see him on the NFL Network. I want to thank our two co-hosts, Brenton Carver and also Steve Elliott, his coach from the high school. And we continue with more of you as we come to you from Camp Humphreys, South Korea, on Sports Byline.